Good morning, everyone. It's been a battle all week trying to get my voice back, and God is going to help me through it today. I have Joey reading verses for me this morning, and I want to thank everyone who participated during the message. Just to be praying, sharing, and leading. So this morning we'll be talking about building our lives on the rock. I'm going to be reading the first set of verses from Psalm 127, verse 1 to 2. Please stand with me for the reading. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builder labors in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. As your word goes forth this morning, we ask that it would pierce our souls, that you would transform us to look more like you. We pray that your Holy Spirit would come right now and teach us in grace, in power, and in love. So we make ourselves available to hear you and to go and do your will. In Christ Jesus we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So I'm going to ask you to let the words "in vain" sit with you for a moment. In vain. Then I'm going to ask another question. Who here has ever built something? Maybe you have built a house. Maybe you have built a Lego set, a business, a reputation, a ministry, a family, a plan, or even a dream. Now, let me ask the harder question. Did what you build last? Yes, no, maybe. Did it survive the test of time? Did it survive the pressure? Did it hold the rain when the rains came? When the floods rose and the winds blew? Psalm 127 reminds us that the human being can be busy building and still be building in vain. We can rise early, stay up late, work hard, plan well, sacrifice much, and still miss the most important question. Is the Lord building this with me? This is not a sermon against work. It's not a sermon against effort. And this is certainly not a sermon against ambition. But it is a sermon against building without God. It is a sermon against laboring with no surrender. This is a sermon against constructing a life that looks successful, but in the end has no foundation. Every life that stands must be built according to Jesus' word, his wisdom, and his design. And this week, let's think deeply about building lives that will last. Who here wants to build a life that will last? I would want to ask those who don't have their hands up, why not? A life that will stand the test of time and eternity. And in a world where we get the autonomy to freely choose how to build, who would you consider to be the greatest builder? That's correct. We have seen great architects, we have seen great engineers, and we have seen great builders who create structures that last for generations. But it does not take an expert with a degree or a life of work in construction to quickly come to the understanding that God is the greatest builder of all times. And we see that in Genesis, from the beginning, God built, he created with order, purpose, authority, and the God who built creation calls us to build our lives on the words of Jesus. Before mankind had the opportunity to partner with God, God was already building perfectly. Before there was ever a nation, God was building. Before there was ever a temple, God was building. Before there was a king or a church, God was building. Before Adam even opened his eyes, God was already speaking light into darkness, order into emptiness, boundaries into chaos, and life into dust. Creation shows us that God does not build randomly. He builds with purpose and he blesses. See some of my students here today, and I want to ask you this question. This one is only for students. Just to see if you were paying attention when Genesis 1 was being read. Where does God provide the first blessing in Genesis? Any student? Quickly. You are almost right. I see your hand behind you raised. You? Yes, you looking behind you. Fiona. The first blessing was creation. In Genesis 1, 22, God blessed creation. Before God ever blessed Adam and assigned him anything to do, he already showed himself to be building, and not just building, but blessing what he builds. Today he continues to build, and he gives humanity an assignment. Adam was placed in the garden not to invent his own life, and neither are we. So, is anyone here this morning trying to invent something God called you and I to steward? Is anyone here trying to invent what God called you and I to steward? Adam was placed in the garden to steward what God had already built. God gave him work, relationship, responsibility, and boundaries. And this matters because the first picture of human life is not independence from God. The first picture of human life is life under God's instructions. So the question we need to answer: am I building something in this life? Am I building something in this life? And the honest answer to that question will be absolutely. As my little brother Joey would say, even if you don't think you're building something, you're building something. The question is not whether I am building. The question is whether what I build will last. Am I building something that can stand before God, stand through storms, and stand into eternity? And I'm here to make a recommendation this morning. In fact, I'm here to recommend that you take Jesus' advice on this one. And Jesus' advice is this: build on the rock. Repeat with me: build on the rock. So, Matthew 7, verse 24 to 27 reads, my friend Joey is going to be reading for me today.
Therefore, everyone these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash.
So we see here the wise builder is not simply the person who hears truth. The wise builder is the one who hears the words of Jesus and practices them. The foolish builder hears the same words. They face the same storms and experience a different outcome. Why? Because he did not build on the firm foundation. Wise builders build on the correct. They hear the words of Jesus and they put them into
practice.
So an honest fact here is that nothing we build in this life is neutral. If Jesus has called me to go make disciples and I'm passive about that, I'm still building something. I'm building passive disciples. I am shaping people who may never learn to follow Jesus with courage, conviction, and obedience. So let me make the ask from Jesus clear. Jesus wants us to be wise builders. Wise builders build on the... How do they do that? They hear the words of Jesus and they put them into practice. Now, it is extremely important to understand the context of Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. When Jesus says, "These words of mine," he is pointing back to the Sermon on the Mount. These words cover Matthew 5, Matthew 6, and Matthew 7. And this week we will look at Matthew 5, because Matthew 5 gives us the first major pillars of the foundation Jesus is talking about. Jesus teaches that a life built on the rock is marked by kingdom character. Here reads Matthew 5, 3 to 12.
"Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evils against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven."
Jesus is looking for followers who are present and has these kingdom characteristics: poor in spirit, meek, hungering for righteousness, pure in heart, faithful under pressure. And a wonderful way to assess whether we fit the bill is to place our names in these verses. So I'm going to place some names in these verses. Blessed is Dylan, poor in spirit, for his is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed is Key and Rachel, who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed is Ella, who is meek, for she will inherit the earth. Blessed is Marie, who hungers and thirsts for righteousness, for she will be filled. Blessed is Tyler, the merciful, for he will be shown mercy. Blessed is Luca and Lakeisha, the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are Rita and Sharon, the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. Now you get my drift. And if it doesn't sound true when you read your name in these verses, then it means we need to start rebuilding. Why? Because wise builders build on the rock. They hear the words of Jesus and put them into practice. So I have an illustration first. Let's imagine a 16-year-old student with ability, intelligence, opportunity, teachers who are trying to help, but instead of building a scholarly life on discipline, humility, consistency, and teachability, this student builds on faulty study habits. They study only when panic hits. They wait until the night before, and they assume talent will replace preparedness. They listen in class, but they never review. They want the grades, but they do not want the process. They want the outcome, but they do not honor the foundation. And for a while, it may look like it is working. A naturally gifted student can sometimes survive on a season of their abilities, but eventually the storms come. The tests come. The deadlines come. The hard classes come. College. Moments of evaluation come. And what looked stable starts to shake because the foundation was never strong. That student did not fail because they had no potential. They failed because potential without practice was sand and shifting ground. You know, some of us are lacking gifts. We are lacking foundation. Some of us are not lacking calling. We are lacking obedience. And some of us are not lacking opportunity. We are lacking the willingness to build the way Jesus said to build. And that was 16-year-old Pastor Layton. Building without practice. Building without preparing. But Jesus teaches otherwise. Matthew 5:13-16 reads,
"You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven."
Salt and light, representing a life that preserves what is good and reflecting the glory of God. And it refuses to hide. A life built on the rock does not disappear into culture. It preserves, it shines. It points people to the Father. Wise builders build on the rock. They hear the words of Jesus and put them into practice. Matthew 5:17-20.
"Do not think I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Therefore, anyone who sets aside one of the least of these commands and teaches others accordingly will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commandments will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven."
Jesus calls for deep righteousness. Jesus says he did not come to abolish the law or prophets, but he to fulfill them. And he says something sobering. Unless your righteousness, unless my righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, we will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. So Jesus is not calling us to performance religion. He is calling us to a deep righteousness. He is calling us beyond appearance into transformation. It's morphing time. It's morphing time. This is not righteousness that says, I know how to look holy. This is righteousness that says, search my heart, Lord. Repeat with me. Wise builders build on the rock. Wise builders build on the rock. Repeat with me. They hear the words of Jesus and put them into practice. Matthew 5, 21 to 26.
You have heard that it was said, you shall not murder. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Then he tells us that if we are offering our gift at the altar and remember that our brother or sister has something against us, we should leave the gift, go be reconciled, and then come, I'll offer the gift.
These verses represent a life filled with deep righteousness and reconciliation. Obedience moves beyond appearance and reaches the heart. Reconciliation refuses to let anger, bitterness, and broken relationships become the norm. Some of us want worship over wounds we refuse to address. Some of us want worship over wounds we refuse to address. And some of us want to bring gifts to God while ignoring the people we have hurt. But Jesus says, the life built on the rock takes reconciliation seriously. The life built on the rock takes reconciliation seriously. Jesus continues, Matthew 5, 27 to 37.
You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. It has been said, anyone who divorces his wife must give her a certificate of divorce. But I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife, except for sexual immorality, makes her the victim of adultery. And anyone who marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but fulfill to the Lord the vows you have made. But I tell you, do not swear an oath at all, either by heaven, for it's God's throne, or by the earth, for it is its footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. All you need to say is simply yes or no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one.
Jesus is not merely shaping outward behavior. He is building desire. He is not only asking, what did you do, Colin? He's asking, what are you allowing to rule your heart? Wise builders build on the rock. They hear the words of Jesus and puts them into practice. Jesus says, all you need to say is simply yes or no. That's the only commitment you have. Yes or no. Integrity means letting your yes be yes and your no be no. A rock-built life does not need manipulation, exaggeration, double talk, or spiritual-sounding loopholes. The life built on the rock is truthful, Luca. The life built on the rock is truthful. Matthew 5, 38 to 48.
You have heard that it was said, eye for eye and tooth for tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them, then other cheek also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even the pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect.
So Jesus is seeking people who are merciful, loving, and kingdom mature. Mercy over revenge means refusing to live by retaliation. Loving others or loving our enemies means loving beyond what is natural because we belong to the Father. Jesus ends the chapter by saying, be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. And I know this to be true. That's one hard ask. That word perfect points to wholeness, though, maturity, and completeness. And Jesus is calling his people to reflect the character of their Father in this. So let me paint you an illustration. Now, imagine someone who wants to become an athlete or a musician. They love the idea of being great. The applause, the dream of fame, the image of success. But they have no training plan. No coach, tutor, or guide. No discipline. No conditioning. No accountability. They have no direction. They say they want to be an athlete or they want to be a musician, but they do not train or practice like it. Eventually, their playing is exposed. What practice never built, the skill breaks down. The pressure rises. While others around them are prepared, they are not. The moment is bigger than the foundation. And the dream collapses. Not because the dream was wrong, but because the life was built without a plan, without a guide, without submission to instruction, and without practice. You see, the wise builders must build on the rock. They have to hear the words of Jesus and put them into practice. That is what Jesus is encouraging us to do. Sorry. We cannot build a Christ-like life on spiritual wishful thinking. We can, however, build kingdom character by practicing the words of the King. We can build kingdom character by practicing the words of the King. And we can build on the rock by seeking the help of His Holy Spirit. Matthew 5 is not a list of religious ideas. It is a shape of a life being built by the King. Jesus is not giving a cosmetic repair here. He's laying foundation. If God built creation by His words, and Jesus says the wise life is built by hearing and practicing His words, then we cannot build a stable life while ignoring the voice of the builder. And you know what? Paul had something to say about this. 1 Corinthians 3:10-14 reads,
"By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's works. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward."
The builder will receive a reward. I don't know about you, but I love rewards. So I want to build my life on the rock. Saul had an encounter with Christ the rock. He turned into Paul and begins rebuilding his life the way of Christ. With love in speech, choices, forgiveness, desire, and by the way he lived. So the question is not only, do I believe Jesus? The question is, am I building according to what Jesus said? Wise builders build on the rock. They hear the words of the Lord and put them into practice. Now here's my closing challenge. This week I want you to identify one place where your life looks like sand. And what does that mean? One place where I'm lacking in humility, meekness, if I'm lacking this desire to hunger or thirst for righteousness, if I'm lacking mercy, purity of heart, peacemaking, shining light, preserving like salt, pursuing reconciliation, having integrity, or covenant faithfulness. If I'm lacking in any of these areas, I need to start rebuilding. So, how do we do that? We ask God through the power of His Holy Spirit to rebuild that area through obedience to the words of Jesus. We ask God through His Holy Spirit to rebuild that area through obedience of the word of Jesus. So I want you to go this week and put this into practice. Let us pray. Everlasting God, our Father, we thank you for your holy word. We thank you for speaking to us. I pray that you give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and hearts to go and do your will. For those who may have never placed their life in the care of the rock, I ask right now that you would pierce their hearts to surrender to you. And for those of us who are committed to following you, I pray that we would put your words into practice and live according to your plan, your design, and your wisdom. We give you glory, we give you honor, and we give you praise. In Christ Jesus we pray. Amen.